Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
Ah! I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reset the Radio, and we are back on the end of your week this Friday, May the 18th, 2012. I hope each and every one of you are starting your weekend, and I hope that you are beginning it with us here at Reset the Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Messy Jesse is at it again. Oh, yes. Mary, Mary, why you bugging is here. She does not know this story, and I'm very, very happy that she doesn't know about this story. Because the picture that I'm about to show this woman, Mary, Mary, why are you bugging, is going to make her go, holy crap. Now listen, try not to curse, okay? Try to, literally, try to edit yourself.
Show me the picture.
No, no, no. When I'm done with the monologue.
Show me the picture.
One second. One second. I'll show you the picture, okay? I will show you the picture. All right, just relax. You see that woman?
Uh-huh.
Do you recognize her?
No.
Okay, she's often on Hannity. Often on Hannity's show. She's a liberal. You talk about her all the time. She's often on
Hannity. Mara Holder?
That's her name. She's often on Hannity. She's a liberal who always makes arguments for the Obama administration, and she's always...
And she never makes any sense.
She never makes any sense.
Okay.
You see her all the time.
Okay.
All right. There is a lawsuit, as you can see there.
Media pundit named in Jesse Jackson lawsuit.
Okay. A media pundit, Tamara Holder, has been named in a lawsuit against Jesse Jackson. Tamara Holder, a Fox News contributor, is accused of having an affair with Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. in a lawsuit that alleges the illegal use of a gay Jackson employee to facilitate the relationship. The accuser, Tommy R. Bennett, was Jackson's personal travel assistant and ran the legal clinic at Jackson's organization, the Rainbow Push Coalition. He says that he was eventually fired for protesting his treatment by Jackson and other Push employees, and is seeking hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages. Holder,
hold on. I didn't know Jesse Jackson was that was his organization for the Rainbow Push Coalition.
Yeah, it used to be called, he didn't know that.
I had no idea that was his.
Yes. It used to be just called the Rainbow Coalition, but now it's called the Rainbow Push.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, Holder has not responded to repeated requests for comments by Accuracy and Media, who posted this story. But Jackson's press representative, Lauren Love, says the allegations are false and will be proven so. Bennett attorney Thomas V. Laverso says that Jackson and Push have been stonewalling a legal response for many months, but that investigations and the case are moving forward. Laverso tells Accuracy and Media that witnesses have come forward to verify the allegations against Jackson. This story is about to get worse. Jackson, a minister and Democratic politician who served as an aide to Martin Luther King Jr., you know all that stuff. You know he admitted to fathering an illegitimate child while married by his assistant. Bennett says he worked for Jackson for more than 2 years and was known as Aruba Tommy on a local Chicago radio station, WVON. The lawsuit alleges that Bennett was subjected to humiliating tasks because he was a homosexual, such as escorting women to Jackson's hotel room and then being ordered to clean up after Jackson had sexual intercourse with them. One of these women in the suit is Tamara Holder. A wise woman! Now, here is this man screaming and hollering about racial injustice, talking about the Trayvon Martin student, talking about how the black man gets no respect, and how much he loves Barack Hussein Obama.
Well, that's because him and Barack Hussein Obama have something in common. They both like white women.
Yeah, actually, according to Barack Obama's book, yeah.
According to photos.
But what's Jesse Jackson doing?
But if a white woman, why Tamara Holder?
Well, she's like-minded.
But she's not, I mean, damn. To me, if a man is going to cheat, first of all, you're a reverend. Okay, you're a man of God.
God.
Is he still married? Does his wife stay with him after he...
Hey, yeah, JC, is Reverend Jesse Jackson still married?
I'm not sure, but she got good credit.
You're talking about Tamara Holder.
Yeah.
Let's find out whether or not Reverend Jesse Jackson is still married.
So he fathers an illegitimate child with his assistant.
You remember that. Now, what's interesting about that story, we talk about how much of a hypocrite this guy is. This guy, all right, I'll see if we can find a photo. JC, see if you can link the photo and send it to me. There's a photo of Jesse Jackson with Bill Clinton and Hillary during the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Counseling Bill.
That's right. He was counseling Bill Clinton during the, you know, when the affair came out. The woman in the picture with Reverend Jesse Jackson
is the one that he had a baby with.
Is the one he had a
baby
with. His
baby mama.
Exactly. And she was pregnant at the time.
With his baby. Wow.
And he's there consulting.
But, okay, so why are people even still listening to him?
Because, now, hold on.
Why is he still relevant?
No, no, see, now you're
so
hearing...
So now he's fighting for gay folks and shit. I mean, what is going on? Reverend.
Wait, this is better. What makes this story better is this. JC alerted me to this earlier today. He called me up. And when he told me this, I said, listen, I heard about this story today. Look it up. See if there's any... I don't know where the website is, but find it. He found the website to let me know where he found it. Try this on for size. Guess where the story was first? Say it.
And I can't.
Say it!
I can't.
Say it!
I can't.
Please.
I can't. It's not a reputable place.
Isn't, right?
No.
Tell, say where it is.
Excuse me. No. Back up.
We all know what it is.
Don't mention it yet.
Just say the name of the publication that first reported the story.
I can't say it.
Come on.
I can't say it.
Because you don't believe it in their reporting. And I told you about the John Edwards case, and they were the first to report it. And now these guys were the first to report Jesse Jackson. Say who they are.
Oh, Lord, the damn people of the Enquirer.
The National Enquirer. But no, the story gets crazy. Look at the date it was published. September 21st, 2011. Accuracy in Media printed it literally
today.
Well, sorry, 2 days ago.
Okay, so maybe they were, because they're Accuracy in Media.
Yeah, but no.
Maybe they were investigating.
For 9 months? National Enquirer was on this story last year. And can you believe, now here's the scary part. Now, I'm not going to lie. It was ingenious the way Jesse Jackson did it. He gets a gay guy to escort the women, and so if anyone sees the woman going there, they know that this guy is an openly gay guy. If he's seen with the woman going to meet with Jesse Jackson, they think nothing's going on because he's gay. So he is nothing more than a bait and switch. And according to the story, he would take
he's
the women.
A house nigga.
They would take him to the. They would take him. He would take the women to a room. But no. The story, according to the allegations, is that there were several women. This guy is alleging that there were many women that he was taking to the rooms. It was plural. Tamara Holder was one of the women. Now, JC, what did you want to add?
They become a very, 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 very reputable news source.
Accuracy in media or National Inquirer?
A long time ago.
National Inquirer.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I mean, we know when they used to do, you know, the three-headed baby and Mama Married an Alien. No, that wasn't really them. That was another publication.
That was the Inquisitor.
Yeah, the Inquisitor. But come on. How does the National Enquirer beat the regular mainstream media on this?
Because mainstream media doesn't want to report on it. Why would they want to make the old Reverend Jesse Jackson look bad?
This is absolutely disgusting.
Well, what's disgusting about it is that he is sitting around preaching to people, throwing stones, and lives in one of the biggest glass houses I've ever seen.
It couldn't get any worse than that. That's the whole deal.
How are you counseling Bill Clinton with your pregnant mistress sitting next to you, and people are still listening to your dumb ass? And now you're running the Rainbow Push Coalition. You know, I used to work downstairs from that office.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, well, that would make sense that he
was... On 16th and K Street.
It would make sense that he was with the Rainbow Push, because apparently, you know, sex
he's
has
pushing
no...
pushing rainbows.
Exactly.
He's pushing around rainbows.
Well, he can use gay people as his...
liaison.
Yeah.
You
and
didn't
just,
read the whole story, did you?
Well, please, give me the rest of the story.
Hold on.
Because
Messy Jesse Jackson.
What makes all of this?
Hold on. Go up. Go back up.
Okay. Well, this is the part about Lauren Love.
Jackson.
Well, read it out loud. Where are you?
Who me?
It's
Seth. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay. Well, about the shocking lawsuit that alleges that Reverend Jesse Jackson sexually harassed Aruba Tani, wanted him to perform oral sex on him, and was then forced to clean up after Jackson's exploits.
Now, the story that's in Accuracy in Media, okay, because I don't know where your report was that he had asked him to perform oral sex, but according to the Accuracy in Media article, they say, okay, in addition to the alleged relationship with Holder, Jackson is accused of demanding, accused of demanding sexual favors from Bennett, such as being told to apply cream on Jackson's inner thigh to treat a rash. I wonder where he got it. Bennett says he refused. Jackson became angry and called Bennett a little mother effer.
Right.
My termination was discriminatory and retaliatory, says Bennett's complaint. He was told he was fired because of a drastic economic downturn, when in fact another individual was hired to replace him. Now, what source says that? Where did you get the source that says that Jackson asked him to
perform oral sex on his penis?
I was trying not to ask.
Wait a minute. Let me finish the complaint. What the complaint says.
His penis. And
okay, all right. No.
Let me finish what the complaint says. Here we go.
All right, enough. Thank you. Let
put it in your mouth.
Stop it. All right, stop.
why? What's with her every Friday, man?
She is going crazy today.
Okay. Here we go. The complaint also states that at one point when Mr. Bennett arrived at Reverend Jesse Jackson's, wherever he had to go meet him at, It doesn't say exactly where. So Jackson was dressed in only his underwear, which was briefs, and a V-neck T-shirt.
Okay.
And while Mr. Bennett was taking notes, Reverend Jesse Jackson had an erection and was stroking with his hand in his underwear. Hold on. Reverend Jackson.
Wet penis contest. What'd you say?
What's that?
Nothing. A wet penis shirt contest.
And his underwear, Reverend Jesse Jackson was breathing. His breathing had become accelerated. Before Mr. Bennett left the room, Jackson stated that white folks took the word gay and gave the word its own definition. Reverend Jackson further stated that when he was a real poor child in North Carolina, his name was first Jesse Burns, then Jesse Robinson, and then became Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson also stated that he played football, and there was a gay high school teacher who took Reverend Jackson under his wing and told him that he needed an education to go along with the football. Jackson said, from that gay teacher, I got a good grade, I got to use his car, I got $10, and I got bleep sucked.
Oh, really? So the football coach is putting it in the mouth.
Okay, no. Hey, stop.
No, that was a teacher.
Okay.
And listen, Justin, and then he closes out with Justin said, he closes out with Reverend Jesse Jackson saying, that's not gay. That is surviving.
Wow.
But you know what? A lot of men.
let me quote my source because I that is not our source here at Reads on the Radio. We did not come up with this story. Nobody on our staff wrote this story.
Exactly.
We're just reading someone else's story. And in fact, it's a very old story. It's a 9-month-old story straight out of where?
The National Enquirer. But this is what's being alleged in the suit, correct?
Yes, this is all that's in the suit.
Okay.
So.
Now, you were saying that this isn't new. You don't think that this is new.
Well, for men to say, if you put it in your mouth.
Okay, all right.
That doesn't mean I'm really gay. It just means I got needs and you happen to be there. As long as I don't put it in your butt, then I'm not gay. And if I don't let you put
dated
it in my
a,
blood,
she was a dated prison guy.
Then I'm not
were you
gay.
A prison pen pal?
Huh?
Were you a prison pen pal?
No, I wasn't a prison pen pal.
Well,
I was a gay friend. I do. And it's funny. Honestly, I was dating this guy. I was seeing this guy, and then we parted ways. And later on, my best friend at the time comes to me and tells me, "You know, I was with him, right?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "No, you wasn't, because he ain't gay." He was like, "That's what you think, but I was with him." And all I could say was, God, please let it have been after.
Yeah, please don't let
after it be. After I was. I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with people being gay. You do what you do. But, you know, I'm not. It's,
no,
it's
you're
not
being
a,
honest.
It's not
nobody's
a turn
gonna
on.
Take
I'm
that.
Not turned on. I'm not turned on by two men getting it
right,
on.
You didn't
it's
find
not,
that high.
Yeah, I wasn't that, you know, that wasn't something that made my nipples hard.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome for making Friday night dance party so exciting. I've witnessed a man trying to approach a female and trying to get with her and the female turning him down, and then 15 minutes later is in the parking lot with a dude. And the dude is putting it in his mouth. So, what's wrong with that? Put it in your mouth. It could be a popsicle. It could be icicle. I mean, what?
It's funny. Every Friday we end up with this subject. We need to change this to title of the show on Fridays.
There's too much innuendo.
Man,
yeah. Ding-dong. Put Fridays.
Keep it a little lighter, dear, please.
So, I've witnessed, a guy you think is straight, trying to hook up with chicks.
Well, yeah,
the
it's nothing new.
Them
I mean,
down.
Download the
then
whole
why?
You right. know, and then they get their plant sucked. And it's, I don't get it.
Yeah, but would you think that about Jesse Jackson? Is this too hard to believe?
No.
Because it's just.
No.
Really?
No.
No.
You guys can believe this story.
Don't most men like getting that stuff?
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that has there ever been any indication in anybody's mind that Jesse Jackson was somewhat interested in men?
No, I mean, nobody had any idea of that, but now that there's a story out there that this could be possibly, that this is, that these allegations have been made against him, I don't put it past him. I don't put it past anybody. For Christ's sake, you are reverend and you have your pregnant mistress sitting next to you while you're counseling the president because he got his duck sick in the Oval Office.
She is absolutely
all
awful.
Right. You know what? That is a perfect. That right there, that's a promo right now. That is absolutely, oh, man, and thank you for, do me a favor. I have to break this up, the monotony. Our friendly neighborhood white man has joined us. Mike, come on, please tell me that you are somewhere. Please tell me you don't at least believe that this is true, or is there something in your mind that says, hey, it could be?
Hey, dude, I don't put it past anybody to be on the down low. You know what I mean?
No. Have you heard this story before? By the way, Mike, you follow media pretty well.
Okay. What story?
Have you ever heard this Jesse Jackson lawsuit with this assistant?
No, not till today. But I don't tend to pick up the Inquirer either.
Well, again, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Inquirer was the first place it was reported, but this place, Accuracy in Media, which is nicknamed AIM, of course, as an acronym,
mm-hmm.
you know, they went on to get, you know, this information about the lawsuit, and the fact that Tamron Holder was named in it, and I mean, I can't say I know her, but I'm familiar with her work on Fox News. In fact, she is often on Hannity's show. I mean, she was just on 2 days ago. Talking, you know, of course, talking about everything from, you know, gay rights to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she's often on, in fact, she's on Hannity's radio show, often in his debate section.
That's only so he can make himself look good because she sounds like an idiot.
But now, in fact, since this story has come out, I've not seen her once on television. And, of course, Accuracy in Media said that they tried to contact her. And she, I mean, nobody can find her. She's, you know, not returning any phone calls, not doing any interviews. This is a young woman.
That's because she's somewhere ducking sick.
Yeah, I mean, how embarrassing that you're gonna be known as the woman that.
Say again, Mike.
I mean, how embarrassing. I mean, I can see if you're some woman to, you know, bang some famous guy, but a 74-year-old Jesse Jackson. I mean, gross.
I know. I mean, I'm looking at this story, and it is baffling to me. I've seen this woman. JC, what did they say how old Tamron Hall was?
I want to know this. While she was ducking his sick, was she repenting her sins at the same time? Was she in confession? Was that the
thought?
Was it like Psalms 2.1?
No, right.
I guess he must have told her that she was somebody who could give him a mouth hug.
He gave her a mouth.
God gave you a beautiful mouth. Now you get on your knees and use it, baby.
You're the worst. Oh. Anyway,
you know, and then it turns out that this Aruba Tommy, if you Google his name or look at the Jesse's wiki page, Tommy filed a complaint with like the Chicago Anti-Discrimination Board or something, saying that Jackson fired him because he was gay.
Right. Yeah, that's also what I heard, is that he
would
fire him because he was gay. I mean, that sort of baffles me as well, because that brings up a whole list of other questions. It would suggest that, you know, if he believes that Jesse Jackson fired him because he was gay, but yet he alleges that Jesse Jackson asked him to perform a sex act on him. You know what I mean? Doesn't that somewhat contradict that whole thing?
Yeah, maybe he should have given him the mouth hug. He still has his job.
He should have given him the mouth hug. Yeah, I'm never ever going to repeat that. So can we stop using the whole ducking thing? I don't want you to use it anymore. It's really funny, but God, it sounds so much closer to the actual word.
But I mean, you know, will this be the nail in the coffin for Jesse? I mean, not only is he, you know, having affairs with white women, and I know that, you know, black women get really pissed off about that kind of thing.
Now he's
hitting up, you know, now in the words of Al Sharpton, does that make Jesse a punk faggot?
A what?
I mean, that's what Al Sharpton, you know, if you Google Al Sharpton, you can find video of him on Geraldo back in the 80s calling some guy a punk faggot.
You know what? You know, that's interesting that you say that. You know what? Mike, do me a favor. Because, see,
yeah.
No one believes me when I tell this story. Al Sharpton uses that word faggot a lot. A lot.
That's because he knows it so well. Tweet
me that link, Mike, if you can.
Yeah,
because
not a problem.
I want that on the air because it's funny that you mention Al Sharpton. What we'll do is we'll take a break because, you know, Al Sharpton uses that word often, and he used it in my presence. And I know the date better than anybody because it was the night Aaliyah died, August 25th, 2001. The night Aaliyah died in her plane crash, I was at Mr. Chow's, the Uptown Mr. Chow's with Star from Star and Buck Wild, with David Dinkins, with Martin Luther King III, I think at the time, Percy Sutton was there, the owner of Black Enterprise, and of course the Apollo Theater at the time, the owner of the Amsterdam News. They were all there. We were having a private conversation over on the side. Well, I can't say private. We were having a secluded conversation. There was a couple of group of people there. And Al Sharpton just openly used the word faggot when he was talking about people whom he didn't agree with and people who were his opposition. And in describing them, he was like, yeah, because what we need to do is get them faggots such and such and such. His own words. And when I told people that, I was like, really? He used that? I'm like, yes, he used it. Like, in my face. Even I was a little stunned because I'm saying to myself, when you're around these guys who are in somewhat celebrity, and I was young then, it was like 12 years ago,
talking about Reverend Al Sharpton, forget celebrity.
No, I'm sorry, 11 years ago. But no, it was 11 years ago. I'm in that celebrity. I'm with all of these sort of, you know, very dignified, high, you know, I want to even say, well, they were all celebrities in some regard. But I'm with the black elite, which would be the best way to describe it. And here's this guy just openly using the word faggot like it's, you know, like he was calling somebody his buddy.
Well, I mean, the only hip hop artist I've ever heard get in trouble for it is Eminem. I mean, I'm sure Jay-Z said it, and he's like best buds with Obama now.
We played the audio here. We played the audio where Jay-Z uses the word off. I mean, in fact, that it's so funny because the Daily Caller, following our lead, then put up a story the next day after we played the Jay-Z audio of supporting Barack Obama. They went and found 5 different songs where he was using the word faggot. In fact, here's Jay-Z, gay lyrics right here.
Rude like, hold up, swole up, too many faggot niggas, clocking my spin and exercising your gay like minds like Richard Simmons.
Yeah, too many faggot niggas exercising your gay like minds like Richard Simmons.
I mean, now, can you imagine the controversy if, well, I don't know, let's say Toby Keith came out and had a song with the word faggot in it?
Oh, that would be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, I remember when Guns N' Roses did it back in the 80s.
And
people
what,
lost their minds over Guns N' Roses using the word faggot.
Hold on. the interesting part about that is, Mike, and it's funny that you bring up Guns N' Roses, is that when Guns N' Roses sings that song, because they got criticized for it, because I believe the singer was Anita Baker, had criticized Guns N' Roses about the song where they used the word faggot, and they were talking about this racist guy. The song that in particular that she was angry with was talking about a guy who didn't like gays and didn't like blacks.
Yeah.
And the song, if you knew the lyrics of the song, you knew that they were talking about a racist in the song. But Anita Baker, who can understand rock music, did not know the lyrics, could not Wikipedia them, could not Google them at the time, because it was before that age, it was in the 80s.
I'm probably still.
Didn't even know. That was the thing. When she protested, the reason why people had to shut her mouth was to go, you obviously don't know who Slash is.
Yeah, he's like a half-black Jew.
Yeah, exactly. Half-black
you know?
Jewish.
But
so
what
you
does
know,
that have to do with using a word?
No, 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 no. But no. It wasn't that. It was that she didn't understand the song was talking about a bigot. It wasn't Guns N' Roses being bigots. The song is about a bigot.
But what is his nationality?
What I was saying was he was
that flabby lip, chicken neck, coxcomb having, conniption fit singing, saggy back, miserable Anita Baker.
Yes, but
she's got a lot of damn balls.
Man, but tell us how you feel, JC.
Exactly.
Hey, don't hold back, man.
I've hated her since I was 16 years old. I think I told you that story, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But, no, again, my bottom line with that was that she didn't understand the song. She didn't know the lyrics. All she did was hear through somebody and said, hey, you hear those guys Guns N' Roses is talking about, you know, calling people niggas and talking about faggots. She didn't. Nobody even talked about the fact that they were talking about gays in that song. The only thing they were mentioning was the fact that it was talking about black. But if you know the song, they're talking about a bigot. You know, it's like it's a song about someone. And you know, it was another classic case. Speaking of which, here's the thing. Here's the thing that you know. One thing that you mentioned, Mike. I want to play this thing for you. Here's Al Sharpton going on one of his famous rants where he uses gay slurs again.
You want to be the only nigga on television. The only nigga in the newspaper. The only nigga can talk. Don't cover them. Don't talk to them. Because you got the only nigga problem. Because you know if a black man stood up next to you, they would see you for the hog that you really are.
White interloper, I said I was wrong. Cracker, though I think cracker is a certain personification of a certain type of person down south, just like redneck. I mean, you know, some people misinterpret cracker meaning all whites is not true, but the confusion means you shouldn't use it. I mean, sometimes being flippant, you say things you shouldn't say because it gets in the way of your message and people don't really understand what you're saying.
White folks was in the cave when we had good empire. We learned to admire them, but they knew to admire us. We built pyramids before Donald Trump ever knew what architecture was. We taught philosophy and astrology and mathematics before Socrates and them Greek homos ever got around.
Before Socrates and them Greek homos ever got around to it. Now, here's the interesting part about all of that.
Why are you talking about Donald Trump?
Here's the irony, the irony of all of that. Al Sharpton was on his show a day or two ago talking about the ministers who refused to support Barack Obama and his now, you know, his now infamous gay stance.
When I start hearing people saying, well, I disagree with his position, I'm all right with that. I understand that, respect that, because there are things we can disagree with. But when I hear them say they're not going to vote because we prayed for him, I saw black ministers, the same ones you named, get around and lay hands and pray for Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton, we know, committed a sin, and we still voted for him, and prayed for him. So what is the difference in this man taking a position and an opinion, not committing the act, just saying, I'm all right with the legal right for people to do this, and people that have committed acts, we didn't do that to. That's why I say a lot of these guys are hypocrites. They had prayer meeting for Bill Clinton. Some of the same ones you're talking about. Prayer meeting. Got on their knees, slobbered, and rolled up down the floor to keep him in office when they were trying to impeach him.
So, I mean, I guess it just doesn't matter. And it's this little, yeah, exactly. This little buddy background laughing.
So the black men of the cloth are supposed to support a president who just made a stance that is totally in opposition to basic Christian values just because he's black? Is that what I'm supposed to understand?
That's exactly what it is that we're supposed to understand. We supported Bill Clinton. In essence, he's just saying they held prayer vigils for Bill Clinton. You know, he ain't saying anything about Bush. Bush supported same-sex unions. He didn't talk anything about that. All he did was talk about Clinton. All he talked about Clinton. He talked about Barack Obama.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't put a cigar in a Jewish girl's hoo-ha. I mean, I read the Bible. I never saw that. Okay.
Oh, that. We're just gonna end it there.
And she was one of
rest of that cigar and flabs of uncultured pork.
Well, she was one of the chosen too, so that makes it even better.
Oh, all right, now you're done. We'll take a break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hello.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
But our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. 42 minutes after the hour on this, May the 18th, 2012.
3 days after my brother's birthday.
Anyway.
You know what? You have a gift.
You guys were in the thick of a conversation, and
Ever.
Dude, don't worry. Can you share it on the air?
No.
Come on.
Can I use a medical term?
Yes, you could use a medical term.
We're in the middle of a conversation with regards to clitorises.
Okay, no, we're going to leave that one alone.
What was it about?
Clitorises.
I love it. Bring it on.
No, let's not. Let's move on.
China, you would.
That's a better thing.
and Mary, on China, you would.
Anyway, so, Beth, let me get to my point here. Mike, again, thank you. Our friendly neighborhood white man has supplied me with the audio that I needed.
Floridian Caucasian.
The Floridian Caucasian. It's like a wrestler's name. Chase, you would probably love that.
The pink flamingo.
So this is the audio we were talking about where Al Sharpton uses the word faggot. And it was Morton Downey Jr.'s show. And who I like to consider sort of like the guy who really started the whole, you know, melee into the Jerry Springers and stuff like that. People were actually having fights on air.
No,
Midday Trash TV.
For him to Robert to whatchamacallit to the
Jerry Springer?
No.
Richard Bay?
No, Richard Bay. No, because Richard Bay was all trash. Ricky Lake was all trash. Ricky Lake tried to deal with important issues.
Morton Downey Jr. was, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
the best. Like, I hated Jerry Springer. Hated. It was so fake. It was so...
Yeah, well,
This dude's stuff was for real.
Oh, yeah. These were real fights, real issues, though.
real inflammatory. He dealt with racism.
And he was not running when people started fighting. He was like, come on.
Yeah, I'm not moving.
Yeah, you hit me. Well,
Geraldo didn't run either.
Yeah, Geraldo really did. No worse for wear. Okay, so this was Al Sharpton talking. I don't know who it is he's yelling at, but the guys look like they're some sort of Muslim clerics of some sort. But this is exactly what he said.
It was a show about racism or something.
Right. Well, here's Al Sharpton.
I'm tired of you, American people. You ain't nothing. You're a punk face. Now come on, do something.
Yeah, so that
was... Can I ask you a question? Did you see the art in the video?
Say again?
Did you see the video?
Oh, that video of him?
Yeah.
No, I just put the video. It's from YouTube.
Can I ask you a question? Because I didn't see it.
Uh-huh.
While he was yelling and screaming and carrying on, was his hair bouncing and behaving?
Yeah, he was still rocking the medallions and bow tie. You know what I mean?
He had that flip hairdo.
Yeah, and he had that was, hair was much longer.
That Mary J. Blige flip.
Hold on, I want to get the audio again. I'm sorry, I screwed up.
What's going to take a cigarette?
You ain't nothing. You're a punk
faggot.
Now come on, do
so. So that's Al Sharpton. There was a great song, and I can't find it anywhere. If anybody can find this for me, I will owe you forever. If you can find me this song, it's called, and I'm just going to give you the chorus. The song is called, it was a parody song, called I Want to Get Me an Al Sharpton Haircut. And I can give you a part of the song. I can remember it. All I remember is that I know that it was somewhere around the 90s. It was on the Z Morning Zoo in New York. Scott Shannon. And the chorus kind of went like, I want to get me an Al Sharpton haircut. Slimy, greasy hair all over my face. I want to get me an Al Sharpton haircut. And I don't know what the next line was, but that was the chorus. And at the end of the song, the little girl says something to, because it's a white guy singing about how he wants to get an Al Sharpton haircut. But at the end of the song, the little girl is saying, she's going, Daddy, nobody wears leisure suits anymore. It's really horrible. But it's so funny. It is hilarious. But I'm telling you, if anybody can find it, I've tried to find it before. I can't. I've had no luck, but, you know, I don't know why, but I guess no one seems to have it because, you know, it was one of those old parody albums. In fact, our good friend, the Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, who is, again, probably, I want to say, my partner in crime during the early Z Morning Zoo. I mean, literally, it's where I got my love for radio, as did James. The Z Morning Zoo, you remember it well, don't you?
The Z Morning Zoo, Mike Shannon... no, actually, Mr. Leonard.
Always number one on my list. Mr. Leonard and the Lime Green Pinto. still love that guy. But do you ever remember hearing that song, I Want to Get Me an Al Sharpton Haircut?
Actually, that one I don't remember. Really,
yeah.
I don't.
It was the latter parts of the Z Morning Zoo. Before Shannon, started leaving because Al Sharpton started coming into the national.
Why did we stop talking about?
We're gonna get into
Jackson?
That. I just want to get into Jesse Jackson in a minute, but I want to make this whole thing about when Al
you
Sharpton.
You should watch how you say that. You want to get into Jesse Jackson in a minute?
Oh no!
I can't.
Oh God!
Hey Mary.
Hey Jamie.
How you doing, sweetie? Missed you. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Missed you too, boo. Tried to call you back. You didn't answer. Thanks for rolling with us.
So yeah, I was on the phone. Sorry.
Thoreau.
You guys like some background music for this conversation?
Yeah. Hey, Reese.
Sexist.
I want to get me an Al Sharpton haircut. Uh-huh. Slimy, greasy hair around my face.
Yes.
I want to get me an Al Sharpton haircut. Just a little super glue will keep it in place.
Yeah. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Oh, no, okay, that's the same thing you just said.
With all that hair on my head,
yeah, but
they'll love
the
me
thing
when
is,
I'm,
man, it wasn't even
the
Al Sharpton haircut. because Al Sharpton still took it from Don King.
No, Don King's hair went north.
No, that's right, that's right. Don King's hair went north. Al Sharpton's went down.
They fried, dyed, leaked.
Now, hold on. Do you have the song, CC?
What's that?
You have the song?
I found the lyrics. I just have to find the song now.
Okay, where did you find the lyrics?
He did find the lyrics. He just said the lyrics.
I mean, where did you find them?
Oh, I Googled them. With all that hair on my head, they'll love me when I go to Club Med. When my medallion signs, the girls will be mine. And they'll all be asking me.
Okay, you got to send me this link.
Yeah, it's just some of the lyrics. I didn't go through the whole thing. I'll have that song soon enough.
Find it for me before the end of the show. So, James, I know you're joining me late. And let's bring Mike back in. Mike from Florida back in. So, James.
Who really wants the Al Sharpton haircut?
It's kind of weird that I should know this, being like the white guy, but Al Sharpton got his hair, you know, conked or fried, dyed, and laid to the side or whatever, because James Brown made him do it before they went to meet Ronald Reagan.
That is absolutely
crazy. What does Mike know about a conk?
Right. You know what? Even I forgot that.
You're
I watched Good Hair. That was a good movie. I learned a lot.
Mike, you.
Al Sharpton used to be James Brown's like manager or assistant or spiritual guidance or something, and
hey, Mike?
The quote was, James told him, "If we're gonna meet the president, you're gonna look like me, Rev," and took him down to get his hair done by the lady who did James Brown's hair.
Wow.
Yeah,
hey, Mike.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You happened to come across this movie because you thought you were watching a documentary on Brillo, weren't you?
You know what I learned, honestly? I learned I'm happy that I'm not a black woman, because that's expensive.
It is.
Holy crap. I didn't know about weed.
Being a white woman with nappy hair ain't so damn easy either.
Yeah, but, you know, they can just, you know, rock some pixie cut or something. Y'all got to get that good Indian hair from the temple. That's expensive.
Wait,
what?
Mike, hold on. You got to answer just one question for me.
Yeah.
Like, are you like a black anthropologist?
I was just interested, man. I didn't know. I like Chris Rock, so I said, I'll watch Chris's movie again. Who would have thought that the hair for weaves comes from Indian temples where Hindus shave their heads to thank the gods, then the Indians sell it to the Koreans who own the hair stores in the hood. It was weird.
Yeah, that's actually...
I didn't know. I mean, the Vietnamese...
Yeah, they had a big to-do about that.
And the Koreans have taken over the black hair care products industry. There's like one black-owned hair company in America called Bronner Brothers. And everybody, the Koreans own all the distributors, and they own the stores. And it's weird, man. Those crafty people.
I didn't even know that.
That is...
Yeah.
And this all came from the Chris Rock movie?
Yeah, the Chris Rock movie's fantastic.
Really? Good hair.
Good hair. Who knew that they gave relaxers to 3-year-old girls?
Wow. I did not know.
3-year-olds.
Live in a black... You grew up in a black family? You ain't know they giving little girls...
Naturals?
Yeah.
I mean, not naturals, but what is that called? Perms?
Yeah.
They call it a kitty perm.
My sister didn't get no perm when she was
dark and lovely in a pink box.
My sister
or
did
motions.
Not get perm. No, my mom just put a straight comb to that hair.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's almost the
not
same.
Not only lasted till you sweat
you ain't
it.
Putting chemicals in there, but you heating up. It was that straight comb that didn't have nothing on it. You would put it on the gas stove and let it heat up and get hot, and then put it on the hair. Yeah, uh-huh.
I am like the most uninformed black guy in the world.
I know.
On black, like,
so you don't claim to be black anyway.
Hey, I do.
Right.
You know, I resemble that.
I'm starting to think.
No, you
I'm
resemble
black
that.
What did you say, Mike?
I'm starting to think I'm blacker than you, man. Just saying.
Yeah.
Mike, everybody is blacker than him.
Yeah, I think you might be right there, Mike. That is it. Okay, so James, you came in late. You didn't hear this story about Jesse Jackson.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, just to recap.
He likes to get his duck sick.
He enjoys a mouth.
Who doesn't?
Okay. So who doesn't?
Wait a minute. But not only does he like to get his duck sick, he likes boys.
Well, maybe the mustache tickles.
Boys, come on. All right, well, let's go on.
The mustache tickles?
The mustache.
You know that, Mike. You scared me.
Wait. Now,
who doesn't?
Listen. Here's the deal. According to a lawsuit by his former traveling assistant. The former traveling assistant, a gay male. He said that, now listen, I didn't tell you guys this. The lawsuit is called Inappropriate Use of a Homosexual.
What's inappropriate use? I mean, like interior decorating?
Yeah, right.
Inappropriate use of a homosexual.
Now listen, now here's why I say it's inappropriate use of homosexual, James. The inappropriate use is that Jesse Jackson would get his gay traveling assistant to get women and escort them to a hotel room where Jesse Jackson would have sex with them. These are women he was having affairs with. One of them being a very notable Tamara Holder, who is a Fox News contributor. She's a liberal. She works. She runs this exoneration campaign to get people, you know, either exonerated for crimes that they can be exonerated from, or get them pardoned.
Okay. Yeah. Either way, she wanted to have a piece. She wanted to have a piece of the Jesse Jackson.
Listen. She is not a part of the lawsuit. She is only named in the lawsuit by the gay travel assistant who says that she was one of the women he had escort to Jesse Jackson. He names her as one of the people that Jesse Jackson's having an affair with. She is a white woman.
She's a crackle.
Hey, now.
She's gorgeous.
Crackle.
I miss you, Mary.
You're
welcome. Good looking white woman, too.
She must be one of them good crackers, though, like a, you know.
Well, double wide.
You were one.
What?
What? He says you're one.
Oh, I know I'm one. I know I'm a good cracker. I'm the best cracker they
get. Anyway.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. That's right. And the thing is, you are living proof that once you go black, you don't go back.
Well, I don't know about that because...
No. You got to ask my ex-wife about that one.
I had never gone white, so I really don't know anything different.
Well, I thought it was...
That's right.
Black,
the thing is, you went black first, and you didn't try anything. You didn't try anyone else. You didn't want anyone else.
I was ultimately satisfied right where I was at.
What were you saying? Hey,
no. Where'd you go black?
Mike, what did you say, Mike?
I thought it was once you go black, you can't get credit. Or once you go black, you're a single mom.
Oh.
That's not a single mom. That's a baby mama.
Baby mama.
My favorite one ever is Rich Voss, when he says that he found out that his sister was dating a black guy. And so, you know, she brings the boyfriend over, and he meets him. He was a nice enough guy, and he says to his sister, he goes, "Wow, I can't believe that you're dating a black guy." She goes, "Well, you know, once you go black, you don't go back." He looks at her, and he says, "You can't go back because my dad won't let you in." That's still one of my favorites. All right, let's take a break. Let's go to the top of the hour. We come back. We got to talk about Facebook and the IPO today. And I'm going to tell you why it failed.
It's going to continue to fail.
And if it does anything, I'll put it to you like this. By a month from now, Reese on the Radio will have Facebook stock. I will prove it to you.
You can't buy it.
Oh, trust me, in a month, we will be able to. And I'll explain it all to you when we return. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. And what Mark Zuckerberg should have done before he turned this into an IPO. We'll break it down when we get back. You guys will figure it out soon enough. It's just for me.
It's a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time. Trust me. We'll figure it out. We'll be...
France in the First War. We'd won decorations. But the white boys had told all them French gals that we had tails. Then they found this ignorant colored soldier. Paid him to tie a tail to his ass and run around half naked making monkey sounds. They put him on a big round table in the Café Napoleon. Put a reed in his hand. Crown on his head, blanket on his shoulders, and made him eat bananas in front of all them Frenchies. Oh, the white boys danced that night. Passed out leaflets with that boy's picture on it. Called him Moonshine, King of the Monkeys. And when we slit his throat, you know that fool asked us what he had done wrong.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all.
Harry had a little lamb. It was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was
sure to
go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
You there?
It's Reese on the radio. When we're back. I can't believe I didn't have my mic on.
Okay.
3 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the radio on this
May
the
18th, Friday,
May the 18th, 2012.
Sugarfoot Fridays.
Just Sugarfoot Fridays.
Sugarfoot. Oh, I like it. Sugarfoot.
Yeah.
About Justin Jackson.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, I a lot of people cover the whole thing, you know, stocks trading and that whole bit. The biggest problem that I have with that, and I've always had since the beginning, and even do today, is that how anybody can sit around and watch that stuff all day. Most people have brokers. I get that. I understand that you pay somebody to do all that watching for you. But I know people who do it on their own. They just literally sit around and just watch it.
Well,
in
that's
fact,
like you. It's like, so news is your thing. Stocks is their thing.
No, I understand.
You know every little in and out about the news. These people study the stocks.
No. I understand that. But this is a very boring thing to watch. Because for
but
me...
But to them, it's not a boring thing.
But for me, you have to understand how I can make it interesting is, if I were a stockbroker, I would watch trends, which is what most people should do, is watch trends. Now, if you watched anything about Facebook today, and about its first trading day today, if you watched any of it, You know that it started off really, really high, plummeted very early, started trading at a serious low, and then fluctuated, and some of I think there were some money was infused in and that whole bit, and it jumped around for a little while, and it squared off roughly a little above $38 a share. Now, again, I am no stock whiz. I am no stock whiz, but I'm going to tell you what happened to Facebook, and it's very simple. It's very, very simple. Facebook is free for anybody to use. And if you are on Facebook and you're using it for free, there's a strong possibility that you are not using Facebook to buy anything. Because Facebook has not found a way to market products to people who use something for free. Understand what it is that I'm saying to you. You can wake up tomorrow morning and start a new Facebook account. It costs you nothing. You load your own pictures. You put your own info on there. You put your own videos. You've got a Facebook page. It's like having a website. It's easy. 1, 2, 3. I mean, for crying out loud, we've got Reese on the Radio. It's not like we need ReeseOnTheRadio.com, but we have it. But if I wanted to, all I have to do is just put Reese on the Radio on Facebook, and that's it. I can give you product every day. But the reason why people go to Facebook is because it's free. And it doesn't matter whether or not there's a product in there that'll make your hair longer. It doesn't matter whether or not there's a great site where you can buy shoes. It doesn't matter whether or not there's a place in there you can get a cool polo shirt. It doesn't matter whether or not the new Nikes are on sale. The bottom line is that if you want any of those things, there's an app for that. If you get my meaning, there's a website for it. Anything you want is at your fingertips. The reason why you go to Facebook is to talk about you. You narcissist bastards. You! I'm not going to Facebook to go buy some hair cream. I'm not going to Facebook to get rid of my smelly feet. I'm going to Facebook to tell everybody who's my friend, or at least claims to be, that I just went out and got myself a tequila shot and a tattoo. Or I just hooked up with some funny looking broad at the bar. Or me and my friends, we took a royal dump on Johnny's front lawn and set it on fire. That's what we use Facebook for. That's it. It's a place for us to hang out. No. Let me finish.
Let me finish.
Now, I'm looking at my Facebook page right now, and I'm looking over to the right, and I see the Ford Fusion, which is a hybrid. That's the ad sitting there. So Ford's got an ad on there. I'm looking at that car, and it's got a little video, and I can watch the video if I want to. Now, scroll down, and what's here? Kaspersky. It's a Pure 2.0 Total Security for my home PC. All right, scroll over here to the left. Gilt, shop now, your fashion favorites at up to 60% off at gilt.com. Scroll down a little more, I got nothing. I got a picture of Bob Hedlund, who's one of the senators up in Boston. Who do I have there? Kathy, she's selling music. Well, she's showing a video. Gordon's over here talking about Iran jails lawyer for helping Christian pastor. Oh, look who's on the bottom here. Join us in Barcelona. It's another ad. Now, other than this, I don't see anything on here to do other than post something about me. Or maybe comment about somebody else who's talking about themselves. You want somebody to actually put stock in that? I'm not going to put stock in people just sitting around conversing about their daily mundane lives, trying to make it exciting.
Well, but they've got pop games. They've got
so what?
People pay to – they purchase credits and coins and stuff and
yes.
pay to play those games.
Really? What do we call those people in the real world, Mary?
Morons.
Losers.
Morons.
Exactly. We don't make IPOs.
Oh, no,
off
I'm
this
sorry.
Stuff.
We call those people unfreaking employed. A non-taxpayer.
But the point
sending
is.
Sending welfare to get tokens to play Bejeweled.
Okay. You get my point? Now, JC doesn't agree. So I'll let the rest of the guys chime in. Tell me where I'm off here. Why does anything about Facebook, other than the fact that it's a free website for you to go on and yammer about your friend Tiffany, who got a new hairdo and just broke up with her boyfriend? Somebody explain to me why this thing should be an IPO.
It's just the modern MySpace is all it is. I give Facebook a couple of years before it becomes uncool.
If, you know what's so funny you said that, Mike? JC, repeat to everyone what you said to me today about Twitter.
Twitter's already basically blown its load.
Exactly.
It's already what?
It's already blown its load. It's over.
Well, I think that this is the problem. So you can go on Facebook. You can check, you know, if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, you can put on Facebook, checked in at Buffalo Wild Wings with my homegirl, Josie.
Yes.
You can do everything on Facebook and it be in real time because everybody's got a smartphone, an Android phone, an iPhone, everything.
I want to be cool.
So Twitter is not a necessity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What this is all this does is feed narcissism, not wealth.
Okay. Oh. Now, let me jump
in. Wait, hold up. Narcissism feeds wealth anyway. The thing is, with Facebook, even though you may not pay attention to the ads, you're still on Facebook. There is somebody who's going to say, well, I just bought a new car. I just bought a new Ford.
Wait. Okay. I just bought a new car on Craigslist.
On Craigslist.
And CarMax.
On CarMax.
But, yeah, on CarMax. Yeah, show me the CarFax. But how do you know that they did it? Because they went on Facebook.
Not true, James. You've got every one of these entities promoting its own website. There is a, you know, as I use the term, that's why I use the phrase, there's an app for that. I don't need to go to Facebook to find something that I might like. I already know what I like. Facebook isn't an
app. Yeah, no, it's not even, but see, the thing is, that's not what it is. That's not what Facebook is. It's everyone wants to be a star. Everybody
okay,
wants
yeah, but
to be
James, we, James,
a trendsetter.
James, yeah, hold on. Can I finish? James, we all know that. We all know that everyone on Facebook, I mean, it's, you know, you probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. Yeah, we
yeah.
know that, right? But
yeah.
The question is.
Hey, actually, that is really apropos.
Okay.
That is really.
James, the question is, if Facebook is free, if you can go on Facebook, create a profile, create 500 profiles if you want to, have different friends, live 500 different lives, whatever, across the world, whatever, that's fine. You can do that. But for Facebook to put themselves in as an IPO, where's that money coming from? That money has to come from people, from companies paying for marketing. They have to use Facebook to market.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of
As a matter of fact, what Mike
company.
Just said.
There's not mass marketing going on Facebook. Not that I've seen. Not that.
Are you kidding me?
No. Wait a minute. Listen, hold on. All those. Why would anybody pay Facebook for marketing when they can create their own stuff and market themselves. It's not like Facebook is the only
Because everybody is on Facebook. All right? Like Mike was trying to say earlier,
on Facebook and clicking on any marketing things because that's not where they why they're getting on Facebook. They're getting on MySpace. They're getting on Facebook to
Uses MySpace anymore.
Network.
But James, the point that we're making here is that people already have a reason for going to Facebook. Facebook isn't getting them involved or interested in something new other than what it is that they go there for in the first place, and that's to talk about themselves.
Which is true. But in and of itself, it's somebody who can't be a star anywhere else. But if
James, this is the thing. Where is the money coming from? How are they making money?
Money's coming from the fact of the matter is that even if you don't say you're paying attention to all the banners and the advertisements, the thing is, when if you're on Facebook, if somebody just says, you know, they go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I just bought a new Ford Focus.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, James, in that regard. You're saying that if somebody inadvertently uses Facebook and sees an ad, that
it's not even inadvertently.
Hold on, I want to make a point. Here's what I'm saying. The only way that Facebook can really, really be marketable as far as being, you know, being a tradable company is that if Facebook can turn itself into what Craigslist is. Because people go to Craigslist to find things that they need.
Let me jump in here real quick.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
But no, let JC go.
No, Craigslist is just Facebook Lite.
It's classified.
It's classified. Exactly.
It's all classified. Now, James, what you're saying, James, is that if someone comes up and says they bought a Ford, that other people might get interested in and then go buy a Ford, correct? Is that what you're saying? Well, then nobody's making no money off of that because the person that actually should be getting the money is the person who advertised that they just bought a Ford. So there's no money coming in there.
No. Because it's free advertising. But
nobody's getting paid for it.
Exactly. Nobody's making any money off of free.
You're absolutely right, we get your point. I don't think you understand the question. The question is what makes them so viable that they can become an IPO when normally businesses that go to initial public offering are companies that generate money, and Facebook isn't really generating any money.
Yeah, you can have.
They've got all the users.
I want to explain to you how they're making their money.
The thing is, again, it's still, even though it's on, you know, the internet or whatever, it's still bottom line comes down to word of mouth.
Well, we're talking about making money. Any business.
Hold on. Any business will say that the first, last, and always is word of mouth.
Okay. James.
Based on your scenario,
if you're the one that put the Ford ad out there, then you should be paying Facebook for using Facebook to put that ad out there.
Right.
That's right. And the thing is, that's why they should be. Because Facebook is word of mouth, just without speaking.
Okay, now let me say this real quick.
Why wouldn't I pay Zuckerman to advertise when everyone's on there? And if they're talking about, look what my cat did,
Okay, but how is Facebook making money, James?
How is Facebook making
money?
No, Facebook makes money by selling users' information and data to marketing companies.
Facebook makes money for other people. Other people want to be on Facebook. Everybody wants to be somebody who's trending. Somebody, even Twitter.
Nobody's paying for it, James. Nobody's paying any money. Where's the exchange of money?
No, the corporate companies are paying Facebook for their user information list. That's the value.
Now, that's one of the places they're making money.
Yeah,
those
because
little ads
it's a,
that you see over on the side. Those little ads that you see over on the side.
Yeah.
When you click those ads, Facebook makes $3.99 per click.
And I'm pretty sure that, you know, I'll tell you a creepy story about Twitter.
Hold on. Mike, go first. Go on.
This is kind of some Big Brother-y stuff, but I got on Twitter and I complained about my cable company, right, having bad service, right? I didn't hashtag the name of my cable company. I just used their name in my tweet.
Okay.
3 minutes later, I got a tweet from customer service at my cable company saying, how can we help you? Okay. So they monitored what was going through on Twitter looking for mentions of their name. Now,
right.
If Twitter's doing that, don't you think Facebook is doing that, you know, monitoring opinions on products and things and, you know, that's why I think Facebook is going to flop.
Well, you're right.
It's
and evidence of that, let me jump in here real quick. Evidence of that is usually if you go to that product's page, it'll tell you how many times that product is being talked about.
Yes.
But
that's
the thing
why
is,
it's going to
flop. Can I jump in here, please?
Go ahead, James.
Because, again, you know what? Facebook in and of itself is not a company, but what
Hold
it
on,
is...
James, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, and I apologize again up front. But the thing that you're not telling us is how the money is made. Where is the exchange of money?
The exchange of money is, again, when you deal with, what's the word I'm looking for, advertising or... Marketing. The first, last, and always is word of mouth.
Okay.
Now,
we're not questioning that.
What's the greatest word of mouth? What's the greatest word of mouth? Facebook.
Okay, we know that, James, but how is Facebook profiting funds by people's word of mouth? If I buy a Ford Mustang and I go on Facebook and I say, oh, I just bought this Ford Mustang, it's great, blah 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 blah. Wait, let me finish.
That's how they make the money.
No, let me finish. James, let me finish because I don't know where you're going or what you're not understanding. If I go on Facebook, I have an account on Facebook for free. Doesn't cost me any money. I go on Facebook and I comment on Facebook, a status comment that I bought a brand new Ford Mustang, right? I put that on Facebook so my friends see it or whatever. Only my friends are seeing it. Nobody else is seeing it because can't nobody else look at my page because of the stuff that I'm doing.
No. Because there's you know what?
James.
You can choose to have it on.
James.
So you can allow
me to finish.
Only
you're
your friends.
Listen, I don't care if I put on Facebook that I bought a car, a house, a dog, a piece of candy, a pack of cigarettes. It doesn't matter. If I put that on Facebook, that's something that I'm putting on Facebook personally. That's not, and that may be marketing word of mouth, but that's not generating anyone any money. If it generates... And if somebody goes out and buys a Ford Mustang because I gave it great reviews on my free Facebook page, no one is getting any money except for Ford because my friend said, oh, she got a Ford Mustang and I'm going to go buy me one too because I want to be just like her. and she goes and buys one. Facebook ain't making no money off of that. Only Ford is. So we're asking, where is Facebook's money coming from? And it's not coming from marketing word of mouth. It ain't happening. Because my mouth ain't spitting out no dead president.
The greatest. That's all it is.
Right.
That's all it is. That's why Facebook, because Zuckerman is making money. That's why Zuckerman is making money, because you're going to find people who want to be, who want to show the world that they got this. And then there's always going to be people who want to follow the Joneses.
Facebook costs you three. They cost the advertiser who's paying. They usually start out in increments of $50 to advertise on Facebook. And what they do is they use your demographic. They give you a demographics list so you can set up your own different demographic.
Right. Anybody can advertise on Facebook. You can.
Anybody can advertise on Facebook. But unlike most advertising banner companies, they charge you $3.99 per click.
Okay.
To target your basic demographic. Now, me, I happen to have four. One of them I use for my wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing but wrestling fans and wrestlers on there.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly wrestling fans from the New England area, because that's who I want to advertise my shows to.
So you mean that you primarily get –
I would only accept friends from – either independent wrestlers from New England and their fans.
Okay.
That follow them.
Okay, so, but are they targeted in a sense that when people who live in your immediate area or in the area that you targeted, will it show up on their Facebook page when they go to their page and, you know, they go to go talk about themselves or whatever, will your ad pop up on theirs?
No. When I got a show coming up,
mm-hmm.
I usually I send my ad out to everybody that's on my friends list on
is
that wrestling
an
page.
Is that ad you're sending out, JC, or is that an event that you're creating?
An event or a flyer. It's basically my ad. It's a flyer.
But isn't it? You're not sending out like an event invitation.
No. The events are free. He's putting in an actual ad that he pays for $50.
No. I'm not even paying for this one.
Oh,
what
okay.
I do
so yours is just an event.
Or not even, it's not even an event. You know how when I post something, when you post something on your page, it goes on Mary's page and my page?
Right.
I do the same thing. I post my event. I usually put up a big colorful flyer.
Right.
And it goes on all the pages of all the friends that I have under that account. And those are friends that I choose to target individually who happens to be wrestling fans that go to independent wrestling shows that live in my area.
Okay, but it doesn't in any way cost you anything?
It doesn't cost me a dime.
Okay, fair enough. Anybody can do that. Okay, I've done that before. Fair enough.
In fact,
as a matter of fact, Facebook ain't making no damn money.
Right, but but as a matter of fact, what I was going to say is I created this other page called the Christmas in Connecticut Shopper. That's another page where I started collecting just people from Connecticut residents. And I'm going to open it up in August, where I'm going to be bargain shopping online for unique and odd little things that people like. A lot of stuff that they usually have in, like,
eBay?
No, not on eBay. No.
Bazaars?
Sharper Image.
Okay, Sharper Image, okay.
You know, I always have unique stuff on there.
Yeah.
And at pretty decent prices. So what I'll do is I'll get an affiliate ship with that website.
Right.
And I'll be posting their products. And anytime anybody who, when I post, if they click on my post and it goes through, it'll open up the Shopper Image web, my page on Shopper Image. And if they buy the product, then I get a piece of it. And I'll be doing that up until.
But you'll be able to do that, and Facebook won't see a dime.
No, they won't see a dime. They won't see a dime.
So this again, making my point that Facebook.
Yeah,
so
it is, right. It bolsters
Facebook
your point.
For free. That's what I'm saying. It bolsters my point.
But now, to my understanding, what Facebook is doing is Facebook for the last year, ever since they announced the IPO.
Mm-hmm.
They've been finding ways to make Facebook your gateway. Much like I'm doing, like I've done, I'm pretty sure that they're going to have accounts with stores like Kmart, to where every now and again a product may pop up that you might be interested in for the holidays or for whatever is currently going on in the world, like for like summer. They may have like patio sets.
Right.
Much like the Sunday, paper, they're gonna open up their own travel agency. They're gonna make themselves a gateway to the internet.
So in essence, they are doing what it is that I just said was making itself more like a Craigslist.
You're right.
But
what
they would end up doing is they'd be a classified ad. For products that you might want to purchase, but exclusively through Facebook.
Right.
So Facebook will then have a partnership with those products.
Right.
If
not with their own.
Right. But until they do it, this stock is going to plummet.
Well, that's just it. That's already in the works, and it's been in the works for some time. They're gonna when they launch. They'll start to generate money, and the stock will go up.
That's exactly what I expect, but I expect that stock to plummet before it happens. Because
right.
If they don't get a move on it now, it's got to plummet.
They would have done that before they offered the IPO.
Exactly. Now, here's why I say that we should do this, is that we should watch this stock for a month, right? If we watch the stock for a month and it continues to plummet and they do not have that stuff up yet, we wait until it's dirt cheap and buy it before that announcement.
Exactly.
That's why I think that we should do. I'm hoping that Jamie understands where we're coming from now.
Hello?
Do you somewhat understand where we're
coming
from now?
What happened to Mike? Mike, where'd you go, Mikey?
Wait. Okay, never mind. Thank you, Ben. But I've been trying to get in to this, and I hate when you cut me off. You know? I really do. Because the thing is, here it is, all right? The fact of the matter is, Facebook is making this money because everybody comes to Facebook, okay?
Wow.
Everybody does, all right? Everybody's got a Facebook page, all right? It was almost like, you know, MySpace failed, but MySpace was the preeminent social network. The thing is,
mm-hmm.
It was. Now, Facebook is. The companies are paying Zuckerman to be on there, because no matter what, it's going to be word of mouth.
Right.
Somehow, some way, everybody wants to say, you know, I've got this, I got that, I got that.
I understand that, but it doesn't generate any money towards Facebook to talk about or brag about the things that you have. In other words, if I talk about as
no,
Mary
no,
said,
no. Yes, it does. Yes,
it does. Tell me where Mary talking about buying a new Ford generates Facebook more money.
Because Mary.
Who's paying Facebook?
If Mary puts it on her wall, just bought a new Ford, loving it. All right. The thing is, that's going out to how many other people in the world?
Just her friends.
Where is the money coming from, though? If I put that on Facebook and it goes out to every Facebook user that Facebook has, you think what is Facebook supposed to do? You think that Zuckerman or whatever his name is going to go to Ford and say, check this out? I got this chick Mary down in VA that just bought a new Ford Mustang, and she put it on her Facebook, and everybody on Facebook.
That's just it.
James, he would have to, because here's why. Because what Mary posts on her page can only be seen by people who can access her page, and that is her
friends. Right. But
how does anybody else see it?
There are other people, because it's not just people going to just their friends. All right?
No.
Facebook doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The fact of the matter is, most people want to have, when they put something on their wall, all right, they don't just put it just for their friends, all right? There are a lot of people who just say, well, I only want people who are on Facebook anyway.
Some people make their postings public.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so wait, James.
How many people make their first?
In order for them to access what Mary wrote, they have to know Mary has a page and then go to it. So they have to search for it. It doesn't automatically come.
No. It's not even like that either. It's not even like that either, because you can put it up there for all the world to see.
I got you, James, but people have to search your page to see what you posted. Like, if you posted something on your Facebook page, it will automatically come to my page. But if there's somebody who doesn't know you and you post something on the page,
No. That's not the case either. Because you can put something on your wall.
Right.
You can put something on your wall that everybody can see.
Right. But they can only see it if they go to your wall.
No, not even that.
Really?
Are things that you can go on, and you know what? Just if you put in, let's say you put in the first letter of the last name. Anybody.
Yeah, but I should say I have to search for that person's name. Is that what someone saying? If everybody in the world doesn't show up on my wall, when I open up my Facebook page, the only thing that shows up are the people who I allow to post on my wall. That's it. I don't know what Joe Schmo bought last week, and I'll never know unless I look up.
No, it doesn't work like that either, because there is a way. Yes, I do understand that you can what's the word I'm looking for?
Sir?
You can, there is a way where you can say, well, I only want my friends. But still, even if it's just your friends, how many friends do you have?
I've got three.
You got three?
No, let's say I have three friends. And they're all on my wall, and they all post on my wall. And all of a sudden, one day, I post that I bought a new Ford.
Now,
three people know I bought it.
That, now, multiply that by how many people are in the world.
Again, they don't. They could be everybody in the world. All 315 million people in the country could have a Facebook account. It would still end up one way. They'll never know that I bought a new Ford.
No, they'll never know. Because
they'll
never
know.
There.
They'll never know, James. They'll never know.
They may never know. They may never know. But the ones who do, are still potential buyers.
And James, a potential buyer is not a moneymaker. So telling me that you might...
Facebook is now...
No,
on
no, no.
the now it's a public.
No, you're wrong.
How is it not?
Hold on, James. Just hold on. Hold on.
It's killing me to explain to him.
I don't know why he doesn't understand it. Is it a technological glitch that I'm not getting, guys? What am I missing here? Why is he not understanding it? I can't have Mary do it anymore because Mary's already lost. She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs trying to explain it to James, and I don't know how to do it anymore.
I don't think that James understands the concept.
I don't think he understands Facebook.
I.
We may have found the one person in the world.
Or not understanding marketing and how marketing works and how you get paid for marketing, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean,
if I'm putting on my Facebook page that I got this product and it's so wonderful, and if anybody's gonna get paid because of what I put on my free Facebook page, it ought to be me, because I'm the one that marketed you, not anybody else.
And
is Facebook keeping track of how many people say that they bought something on Facebook, and then if there's 5,000 people that say they bought a 2010 Ford Mustang GT Turbo Boost, whatever. If 5,000 people on Facebook say that, or is Facebook keeping track of that and going to Ford and saying, hey, listen, between May 19, 2010 and May 19, 2011, 5,000 people on Facebook said that they bought a Mustang. So your sales for those Mustangs that were sold in that time, I need a cut.
That's what Mark Zuckerberg should be able to say.
Yeah, but that's not realistic.
It's not how it works.
It's not how marketing works.
I already paid you for that advertising that got me such and such people purchasing that product. I've already paid for
it.
It's a return on investment.
Yeah,
the return on investment is... The reason why I paid you this amount of money was to get people into my store to buy this product.
And then
pay you after the fact.
Exactly. And then you could still... Ford could go on Facebook and market and market and market and market and pay for marketing, pay for marketing, pay for marketing.
And no one buys.
Still, but people buy, but they don't know how those people... If those people are not actually clicking on that link... And then purchasing something based off of that advertisement.
Right, they're not buying it.
They don't. They're not using Facebook to buy it. They're going. If you click on a link, you're clicking on. You're going. You're leaving the Facebook page and going to another page. It tells you when you click. Do you want to leave this Facebook page or not?
Right.
And that's the only way to keep track of that. You can't keep track of where your people are getting, like how somebody heard of you. When you go to a company and buy something, they usually, or you fill anything out, they'll ask, like, how did you hear about us? And if you put Facebook, then okay, then they're going to get...
But they just use that as a tracking record.
Exactly. They're using it as a tracking tool. They're not using it as... So they know what marketing strategies work best. Is it Facebook? Is it MySpace? Is it coupons on the Sunday paper? Is it whatever? Those things are used for how you're going to strategically market to the people that you need to get into your business.
But it's just
no one's getting anything from that unless you have some type of marketing contract that you use a code that you can link back to. So
all right, I'm running a risk here. I'm running a very, very huge, huge risk here. I'm going to try it one more time just to see whether or not he understood what you just said. Hopefully.
Maybe if we use Living Social and Groupon, we can explain it.
I don't want to have to use Groupon. Do I have to go into Groupon?
Or Living Social.
I'm going to just take the risk here. And I know that I'm going to get into trouble for even trying. So...
Let's bring him back on.
I can't hear anything. I don't want to hear it.
All right, Jake.
Gone home.
We'll let you go one more time. Do you understand where she's coming from now?
I do understand where she's coming from. But again, is everybody... Is Facebook now on NASDAQ?
No. It's on New York Stock Exchange.
It's on NYSE.
Okay. NASDAQ.
No, it's on New York Stock Exchange.
NASDAQ is not the same thing as New York Stock Exchange.
Is it now a tradable company?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Why?
Well, because it went public. It's selling shit.
It went public because, again, people, I mean,
It made its money off advertising. It made enough money to
make
a publicly traded company.
Wasn't advertised by word of mouth, James. That was advertised by banner.
Right, that was banner.
Isn't this what I just said? It is a tradable company now because advertisers or companies are going to them. They know that there's a whole lot of people.
I'm just taking a break. We'll be back.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's...
He's talking about my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I see it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. We're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 6 minutes till... 6 minutes till the top of the hour. Let's get the guys back in here. Okay, I got to do this, guys. Okay, so bear with me. Okay, because I'm expecting him to just be as completely honest as he possibly can. James, you're on the air?
Yep.
You're okay. You're all right. So, okay, I got all the guys.
I'm all right. Yeah, I am passionate, but no, I'm not.
Wait. Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying right now.
The adult beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yeah.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
Can I, Can I ask you a personal?
God.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure, go ahead.
Did you like it on Facebook? Just wanted to know.
And can I tell you something right now? For anybody going out anywhere at any time from this moment forward, purchasing a 211 Steel Reserve, whoever the makers of 211 Steel Reserve, we need our cut.
Yeah.
Let it be known right here on Reef on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Look, you may want to get your cut, but you can't. We're giving free advertising.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind giving free advertising. I don't know.
I know that beer is not that good that you give it free advertising for.
Let me
tell you about a beer that's good.
Actually, you know, I've been drinking all day. All right, and the reason I'm drinking the Steel Reserve right now is because, you know what, I've been spending all day, and now that's the one I can afford. I've been drinking Foster's all day.
Well, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this, but you do know that
it's only 6 quarters.
It's called 211 Steel Reserve. The reason why it's called Steel Reserve and it's called 211 for that matter is that the police code 211 means robbery in progress. That's what 211 Steel Reserve means, robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
What is it, your respect of me?
We have a robbery that has already taken place.
Yes, absolutely. Something was definitely...
You know what? Can't rob the willing.
It was definitely stolen tonight, man. And it was either reason...
It wasn't stolen. I gave it up. I gave it up all on my own.
Absolutely.
Your perception of comprehension has been compromised.
Oh, please.
Has been compromised. Please.
You know what? I can be as drunk as hell, and I'll still...
In a 6 quarters and a walk to the store.
I'm just done here.
So, Mary, I'll see you at the next reunion, huh?
You getting robbed, and people out writing children's songs.
I may be getting robbed, but you'll still come see me, though.
Yeah,
always.
We'll come.
You know we love you.
We love you, James. we'd have to put up with what we put up with tonight. We'd have to.
That's right. Well, you know what? If I'm the Kool-Aid man, I am the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah,
you know what? There's a lot more of me out there. There are a lot more people like me out there than there are of you.
James, I'd just like to sign you off by saying that is that.
Be fair, there's a lot more people out there like me, just saying.
All right. That's all I can possibly say. Oh, man, our friendly neighborhood white man, Mike from Florida, thank you, as always, for calling in. Listen, you are welcome anytime. You know that, right?
Of course.
Thank you, man, and we appreciate that. Welcome to the family. Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, JC, the producer, and Mary, why you bugging, who was a pistol tonight. two key points. I'm telling you, I'm going to start cutting up those pieces for a promo tonight for you. Thank you, as usual, for listening to us. We appreciate it. Check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook at Reese on the Radio and Twitter at Reese on Radio. As usual, we love you, and we will see you next week. Please enjoy your weekend.
Have a good one.
Really glad to be welcome to this crazy, dysfunctional family.
Yeah, exactly. Ah. Oh.